This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show today, we have another training tip from Doug Payne. But before we hear from Doug, Joe Whitehouse joins me to review this year's annual convention. How was it this year?
Well, from all accounts, everybody had a wonderful time and it was a real success. Lots of different things happening, so there was always somewhere for them to go. A very varied schedule of seminars and symposiums. So I think everybody really had a good time.
Well, talk us through the week and the main points of business, Joe.
Well, I think the first thing was Richard Jeffries' show jumping seminar on Wednesday, and that was at Mike Huber's Gold Chip Stables. Mike was a very generous host and helped us out for both the Wednesday show jumping seminar and also for the Friday course builders seminar. A lot of activity at Gold Chip Stables, and we thank Mike very much for making that available to us. So that seminar went very, very well. Richard was very pleased with the attendance. Lots of good questions asked, and he just felt that was able to impart a lot of knowledge. The course walk then took place on Thursday, and that was at Christy Tull's farm, Greenwood Farm. Tremaine Cooper led that one, and John Williams was there with him too. So that was really that was well attended, and I guess they were still out on course and hadn't quite reached the last few fences when the call to get back to the meeting was heard and run for the buses. So I think everybody really got some really good information from that course walk with Tremaine. I think the other thing was the Thursday night Board of Governors reception. That was really to kick things off. And we had a specialist come in. She actually leads the dancing at Billy Bob's. That was really neat because our president led everybody in line dancing and the Texas slide and all of those kinds of dances that they do down there in Texas. And a lot of people got on the floor and enjoyed that. But it was just a good time to all get together and meet old friends and get ready for Friday's completely packed schedule. Oh, my gosh, there was so much going on Friday, you did not know where to turn. Coming out of Friday, I think most of the members would be interested in hearing was the decision to postpone, withdraw and postpone the discussion on the rule change proposals for EV 149.6 and 149.7, which refer to the appendices 1 and 2, the cross-country guidelines and the speeds and the distances, etc. And so the idea behind that was that there are some ambiguities, there are some things that people were just taking a little too far because it wasn't specified clearly in there. The intent was there, and like everybody knows, you see something written down and people stop pushing it just a little too far and just a little further. So what the course Designers and Builders Committee wanted to do was clarify a lot of things and put some restrictions on them. And so that was what they tried to do. Obviously, it caused a huge uproar, and the board looked at it and said, we need to take it back and revisit this, so therefore we will withdraw it and we'll take the next year to look at that and ask the committees to look at it, take it through, and do various revisions for it.
And then does that go back to the Board of Governors for next August meeting, Joe?
Yes, it will go back to the Board of Governors in August, and of course there's a two-day meeting then, and that's around the 12th and 13th of August, and we'll have everyone revisit that and decide, you know, if there need to be even more changes, but then it will go forward again. But believe you me, the members have heard, the board members have heard and listened to the membership, and we fully understand what their concerns are, and they're going to address those concerns. There's a lot of people. It's got more people writing to the USEA in the last year than it has, I think, have written in the last 5 years.
Right. Now, what about the PHA? Of course, the Professional Horsemen's Council, PHC, that always has lots of interesting items that concern all the riders.
Yes, that is under new leadership this year. John Elliott has been taking care of the PHC for the last 2 years, and this next 2 years it is going to Tammy Smith. So Tammy will be leading the PHC forward. They again had very healthy discussions. One of the things that they're looking into is the fact that now you've got so many courses. You know, you've got the CICs and the horse trials courses, and tend to be running side by side, and sometimes it's a little hard for riders who are jumping numerous courses to be able to see which is the FEI course and which is the horse trials course, which is the national course. And so they were suggesting, you know, maybe some different colored numbers so that you could see clearly which one was the FEI and which one was the national. So that's something that they're talking about right now, and that will go on being discussed. I'm trying to remember everything that they discussed at the meeting. I do know that Tammy has asked for anybody who would like to join the PHC email group, that they send her their email, their name and their email, and they can get, they will be included in things like the minutes of the working groups meeting. So they'll be much more involved in what's taking part and having a part in the decision making for the sport from the PHC level. So lots of things, lots of good things went on there, but I do know that Mike Huber has he discussed reintroducing the proposal for the 3'5" modified division, and the all of the riders there, the PHC riders who are instructors, all said that they supported that because it was a very it would make a very good step from the training level to the preliminary level, and may also eliminate some of the need to make the adjustments to the other courses. So those are ongoing discussions, but all very good and very interesting discussions about the sport.
And then, of course, there's always the awards. And now we have, of course, the Rebecca Broussard Developing International Rider Grant, which is worth $30,000. Tell us who that went to this year.
That went to Matt Brown of California. Matt's had a very successful year with Super Sox. And he was the worthy recipient of that award. And Jennifer McFall, also of California, she won the $10,000 grant to help her develop her international career as well. So people are very, very excited about that. I think Matt, he's been in the sport a long, long time, and he went did a lot of focus on show jumping, so that's really improved that aspect of his riding. And this year has just had some super success with some new horses that he got, and he really is deserving of that award. The one thing we should probably talk about is the eventing calendar. Lots of discussion about the eventing calendar, because as you know, there are always new events wanting to come onto the calendar, but there just aren't enough weekends in the year to accommodate everyone. So that is something that's also been discussed for the past year at length, and will continue to be discussed, about how do we manage to bring new events on while we're still making sure that the existing events and the organizers who have supported us for so many years still are able to have a viable event. So that's a challenge. It's a challenge all the way around, but we're working on it.
Absolutely. And lots of other awards were presented, of course, annual awards. And we should mention that the Rider of the Year this year was Buck Davidson, and the Lady Rider of the Year was Lauren Kiefer. And both of them hopefully will be on the show next week, Joe.
I hope so. I hope you can make that arrangement with them, because they always love talking about their horses and their owners and what their plans are for next year. Yeah, Buck and Lauren were definitely worthy winners this year. And of course the Ballino Castle RM. Finally, Winsome Adante has been leading the all-time high score leaderboard. He's for crumbs since like 2004 or 5, I think. And finally, Reggie caught him up, and Reggie became the high score, all-time high score points winner. And he got an award for that too. So Carl and Cassie Siegel and Jessica and Mr. and Mrs. Keena, who were also involved, were thrilled to bits to see Reggie honored in that way. And of course, all this comes on the heels of Buck's his marriage to Andrea Leatherman. I mean, it's like, it's all happening for Buck right now. Busy, busy man.
Yes, and lots of weddings have been taking place, of course, in the last couple of years even, but just, yeah. I think on the same day as Buck and Andrea, then we saw William Coleman and Katie Thornton tie the knot as well.
Yes, tough if you were invited to both of them, huh?
Yes.
But we wish them well. I think it's wonderful for them both, and I wish them much happiness.
Well, we should mention, of course, that this none of this can happen at the convention without your terrific staff behind you, and some of them were recognised at the award ceremony too.
They were recognized, yes, that we had some real milestones this year. We had Nancy Knight, who's our educational director. She hit the 15-year mark with the USEA this year, as did Jason Caldwell, who is our IT manager. And he was 15 years. And then Judy Ottaviani, who is our Director of Admin and Finance, Senior Director of Admin and Finance, she was been with us 16 years this year. And, of course, then Sharon Gallagher and Jennifer Hardwick both hit the 20-year mark. So we have some real loyal, dedicated staff here at the USEA. Couldn't do it without them. In fact, the whole team, you know, we've got some new staff members too, and hopefully they'll be recognized for their 15, 16, and 20-year terms of service. I hope they'll stay with us that long, because we've got a really good, great team.
Terrific dedication and loyalty. And, of course, they will all be starting to think about next year's convention and thereafter, because you have planned, I think, the next 3 years, haven't you?
We do. In December next year, we will be at the Omni Shoreham in Washington, D.C. It is right there by DuPont Circle and behind the Kennedy Center. So definitely easy access to everything that D.C. has to offer. And it will be a Hall of Fame year. So we are also now going to go out and ask people to submit their nominations for horses they believe are worthy of being inducted into the USEA Eventing Hall of Fame. So it's going to be an exciting year next year too.
Big year. And then where are you going in 2016 and 17?
Well, 2016, they will be on the beach in Fort Lauderdale at the Western Diplomat. And in 2017, they'll be on the beach again at Long Beach in California. So two nice, warm, sunny venues there.
I'm sure they'll welcome that. But a good time was had by all in Fort Worth, Texas. As always, Joe, a busy time of the year. Lots of business done, but lots of fun to be had as well. Thank you very much for coming on the show and giving us the roundup. And we look forward to preparing for the next one.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. We're looking forward to it and getting hard down to work right now. So we'll see everybody out there and wish everybody a wonderful, happy holiday season.
And you'll find more information on the website with reports, press releases, and photos of this year's convention. That's at useventing.com. And now for our tip of the week from Doug Payne.
I think this week we'll focus more on, it's just a very common problem for many riders that we see, you know, coming in and out of the farm all the time, is that riders get on and slowly get going, start to get their horses warmed up, but the horses tend to be I think just in general, a little bit sluggish or lazy behind the leg, just really not quite as responsive as you'd like. And so I wanted to give a few tips on how to make sure that you really have your horse as sharp as they need to be. I think in the end, what you're really looking for when riding is that they ultimately your horse has some sort of cruise control, right? You tell them a certain pace, tempo, and balance, and of course gait, and they should ultimately remain there indefinitely until you tell them something else. And many, many riders, you just see it all the time, they end up having to sort of snag and sort of keep kicking them along, and you know, they're working quite hard to really just maintain a steady state, you know, of whatever gait they're in at the moment. And I do recommend, we do this at home all the time, is that in riding, you know, many people use either a dressage whip or a crop of some sort or whatever. And we do across the board at home just use a dressage whip. Not that it's necessarily more severe, but the nice thing about it, and we use them even when jumping, is that without removing your hand, you can very, very quickly make a very fine-tuned but certainly meaningful correction. And I think in the end, with riders, you would love for, you know, if you're just, say we're picking a trot here, right? If you want them to be just trotting along, if you've got a scale of 1 to 10 in how much leg pressure you're able to apply, you would like to think that you're sort of down in the 2 or 3 range as your steady state, right? You're just your normal trotting along. Many, many people end up in the 6, 7, or 8. And the big problem there is that if you get into a bigger environment or you're in a jumping situation, you're coming up to a scary jump, you only then, if you're at a 7 or 8, you've only got, you know, maybe 20% left that you can add into the system. And if you're, if you've got your horse tuned up enough that you're down on the, you know, 2 to 3 line, then you've got 70% more leg that you can add. And just will certainly make your life a whole lot easier. And so in order to accomplish that, from the beginning, from the moment that you get on, you just, although you might not expect the final level of work to be as good as it's going to be half an hour into your ride, I would expect that even with a light leg pressure that you end up getting a meaningful response. And you just have to be very disciplined with yourself. That again, add just a little bit of leg, and if you don't get the response you're looking for, then add that leg again and follow it up with a little tap with your whip. And if that doesn't work, you've got to stay after them until it does. Because horses are very, very smart. And if they've got an opportunity to train or take advantage of the rider, they certainly will. And I think if that is the case, that you can get your horse, you know, certainly sharp from the beginning, lots of transitions, many horses, although it's common to do your warm-up from walk to trot to canter, you know, many lazier horses or horses that tend to be a little bit stuck, maybe it's helpful to go to your canter a bit earlier and maybe even just out of the saddle and a little two-point, just do a little hand gallop around, sort of get the blood, get the juices going, and, you know, think a little bit outside of the box and figure out how best to get your horse just a little bit sharper and a little bit more in the game, and it's just going to make your life in riding a whole lot easier and more successful. So hopefully that will give everyone a little insight and help make riding a less physical activity and certainly more successful in the results that you're able to achieve.
And our thanks to Doug for this week's tip. And if you haven't already done so, you can find this podcast in the iTunes store under podcasts and download the free subscription right there to your smartphone podcast apps and listen to the shows on the go. You'll also find the transcript of these podcasts on the website at useventing.com. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.